So first, again, let me wish you a Shavua Tov. We're going to start now the Mishan Ayin Hey Omid Beis, the old Klal Acher Omru. Okay. Now, we've been talking about, you know, different Shiurim and what's the minimum amount in order to violate, let's say, for example, Meleches Hotzah, and the shear of Hotzah is usually a grogeris, which is the equivalent of a dried fig. And now we're analyzing to see if there are any exceptions to that rule. So the Mishnah says, V'yod klal om acher omru. So we have another klal. You may remember that at the beginning of the perek it said klal gadol, and now we have another klal, which is not klal gadol, and that's called a kosher latznia umatznian kimohu votziu b'shabbos chayav chatas alav. So what this seems to mean is that there's an objective shiur. In other words, it could be that in some cases we have something less than a grogeres, but it's kosher latznia. And kosher latznia means that even though it's in a certain sense, see, I don't want to use the term a minimum quantity because we're not up to the sugya of a minimum quantity yet, but it's a quantity that's less than a grogeres. It's close, but not exactly a grogeres. And it's called kosher latznia because people would use, in various contexts, as we'll go through, a certain less than maximum, we'll call it less than maximum. Whenever I say maximum, I mean kigrogeres, less than maximum quantity, umatznian kimohu. That means anybody who was interested in doing whatever you might be able to do with it, even though it's less than a grogeres, he would put it away. It would be worth his effort to store it in order to accomplish whatever he has to accomplish. And the Gemara is going to flesh this out. So in such a case, Hotzio b'Shabbos chayv chatas alav, that it'll be chayv chatas, even though, let's say for other people, it might not be significant, but for the average run-and-mill person, it would be considered worth his while to store that very minimum, again, I don't want to use the word minimum, but less than maximum quantity, and it's worth storing because such a substance, even though it's less than maximum, could be used in a certain activity. And although, let's say if you were a rich person, you wouldn't bother with it, but it doesn't matter. The Torah recognizes objective shiur. We're not going to say, well, I'm worth millions, so it's not worth it for me, to put aside X amount of a volume of ink, to write two letters or to make a sign on the outside of a barrel. I wouldn't bother with that. It's just too insignificant. No. If this substance has the volume which, given a certain purpose for the general population, it would be worth it to put it into storage in order to achieve that malacha, then even the rich people are going to be chayav. And that's called Votzio b'Shabbos chayav chatas alav. And these words, Votzio b'Shabbos, address anyone. But kol she'eino kosher latznia, v'ein matznian kemoso, Votzio b'Shabbos, eino chayav ela matznia. What about a case where it's less than a grogeres? For me personally, as a very exceptional case, I need this minimum quantity, again, less than maximum quantity. Now, it becomes a subjective shear. Right? Shin Yud Ayin Vav Resh. The shear for Tzah is now unique to one you know, circumscribed membership of the general population. So if I, for example, put it away, it's not a maximum of a grogeres, but I need it for whatever I need it for, then for me, if I carry that out in Rishus HaRabim, I'll be chayev. And that's called Eino Chayev Ela Matznia. Other people, rank and file people, I'm not talking about the wealthy, would not bother storing such a less than maximum amount. Again, maximum meaning kigrogeres. So that I need a certain material. Let's say I want to create a small cloth, and I'm going to put away a commensurate volume of threads in order to create that small cloth. I need that small cloth. I need it as a patch for a hole on my garment. And it's true that anyone in my position who had a hole on their garment would be matznia, they would put away this less than maximum amount. For me, since I was matznia, and we're going to have to discuss a case where he wasn't matznia yet, but in any event, let's talk about the classic case where he was matznia, so he put it away, and now he carries it in Rishus HaRabim. So for such a person, on a subjective level, he has the shear of Shabbos. Why? Because he did the act of being matznia. Other people, though, because they're not in that particular situation, although had they been, they would also have been matznia, but since they are not matznia that amount, it's just not worth it for them, therefore, they're not going to be chayev. And now we're going one dagger lower on the totem pole. We're not talking about Ashirim are going to be potter. We're talking about anyone will be potter. And the only one who will be chayev is the one who, for him, it was koshel atznia. And that's called Eino Chayev Ela Matznia. So we have Koshel Matznia, which is objective, and that's going to be a shear of Otsah that's going to be Machayev, even the Ashirim, because it's Koshel Matznia. A lot of people would put it away. It's worth the effort. And therefore everyone is Chayev. That sets up an objective, all-inclusive shear. And then we have a lower, shall I say, a fallback kind of a shear, which is subjective, where a person is matznia, not because he's doing something crazy. Nobody in their right mind would be matznia. Him and his given situation and his needs, it's justified that he was matznia such an amount, and then he carries it out, he's chayev. But for someone else, the fact that so-and-so put it away, that doesn't give it chashivus such that I would be chayev and otzah on something that's less than the absolute shear. And the reason why we're spending so much time on this, and I'm sweating it out here in trying to define this precisely, is because we're going to see in the Gemara Shita Rav Shimon, we're going to try to make some sense out of Rav Shimon, and he's going to say that if Reuven was matznia, an amount that would not be kosher latznia for anyone else, then everybody's going to be chayev for that. For that particular object. Do you follow? Once he does, this is not our mission, I'm just giving you a little bit of preview. Once he does an act of hatznah, so Reuven, because he needs that small quantity, relatively small quantity, he makes it into chashiv. It now goes beyond. Not only is Reuven going to be chayev for the hotzah on that particular object, and that small volume, relatively small, but even Shimon is going to be chayev. That's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Eino chayev ela matznio. Okay. Now let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha says that we must have something, given its minimum value, it's less than maximum quantity, that's kosher latznia. That anybody would be interested in this, less than full quantity. And now we're coming lafuke, a situation where for the rank and file common person, it's not kosher latznia. So the Gemara asks, "Kol hakosha latznia lafuke mai?" What would be a case that's? Can you give me an example or two of something that's not kosha latznia that for some reason, you know, he decides that he wants to put it away, and we're going to apply the principle of butler daito itzel kol adam, because no one would consider this object that he's locking up in storage to be valuable. Anyone else would throw it into the rubbish bin. Yisra papa omar lafuke dam nida. We're going to soon see that there is something that you could do with dam nida, but you know, anyone who gets dam nida will just get rid of it. You know, it's something that that for a normal person under all circumstances it would be, you know, it would be rubbish. Now here's where the Chidushei Aran, you know, the Ran on Shabbos is very, very important. He says, wait a minute, I don't get it. If a woman sees dam nida, then she wants to take that dam to a posek, to a mora hora, and ask him to examine the dam and decide whether or not it's dam tame. So sometimes it is necessary to keep the blood so that this posek would determine whether she's tmeah or not tmeah. So the Ran, based on this question, says that Rav Papa is referring to a case where she already got the psak, and it's already been determined whether this is dam tome or dam tome or dam tohar, or some sort of afrosh or whatever it might be. At that point, under those circumstances, Rav Papa says that's not even called kosher latznia. So if somebody comes up with an explanation why he wants to, you know, hold on to this dam, you know, I always think of the case of Shimush, you know, he wants to teach other students. I'm not sure what the Ran would say about that, but let's just, for simplicity's sake, let's assume that's already, you know, a very, very rare case. You know, it's common for a woman who sees dam nida that she wants to get a psak on it. But once she got the psak, then it's, you know, you throw it into the rubbish. Mar ukva amar, and we're going to have to see if there's a machlokes here. Lafuki atze ashera. So you have a tree that was worshipped, and the halacha is here, it's asur b'hana. You're not allowed to get any benefit from it. Well, basically, at this point, he should be getting rid of it. And instead, he decides that he wants to put it away. Well, what use can he get out of it? What benefit can he get out of it? He should be burning it. I don't know, burning it, you have to know the dinim. Or at least he should be, you know, burying it. And now he puts it away, and he carries it out on Shabbos. So Gemara analyzes. Man di Omar dam nida, according to Rav Papa, dam nida is worthless. Is kolshke natze asherah? How much more so an atzei asherah, where al pidin you're not allowed to derive any benefit from it, and isuri anah could not be considered kosher latznia, because kosher latznia always indicates that he's going to get some use out of it. But man di omar atzei asherah. But according to Mar Ukva, who says that what's considered eino kosher latznia, that's the case of something that's osur b'hana, aval dam nida mitzna matzna le lishunra. So again, I'm not sure, I can't explain this to you, why cats are going to eat this thing. Maybe you could squeeze out the blood and cats eat, I don't know. You know, you'll have to take a crash course in maybe we'll call up our local veterinarian or our those who raise cats. But anyway, there's someone who might want to put away dam nida to feed a cat. So I think what's going on here, if I understand the Gemara correctly, the Gemara is creating three categories. There's one category where almost anybody would recognize the need for this object and therefore it should be stored away. The exception is the usher. He's not going to bother with it. But for you and I, it'd be worth putting away just in case we need it for a certain purpose. Then there's another case where you and I automatically would assume that it's worthless. But another person in that situation needs it. So let me go over this one more time. So I think it's important to set up the categories because when we get to Reb Shimon, so we have one category where it's a kind of use that's common. Again, there are exceptions. People who are wealthy, let's say, would see this of absolutely no use, no significance. And that's a case where it's kosher latznia. You know, for most people, it's a volume that's worth holding on to, even if right now they don't have a pressing need for it. But certainly, it's logical, or it could be anticipated that your average person would use even such a less than maximum substance or volume. And in that case, everybody's chayev. Even the usher is going to be chayev. Then we have another extreme. And that's the case of Atzei Asherah. Atzei Asherah is Asur Banah. If a person puts it away, what use could he possibly gain from it? There's no heter that he can't sell to a guy, he can't feed it to his dog, he can't do anything with it. That's considered objectively worthless. That's Eino Kosha Latznia Lekuli Alma. And if this individual does so, then it's butla daitzol tzol kol adam. Then we have a middle category, which, let's say, according to Mar Ukva, would apply to Dam Nida. And in the case of Dam Nida, Mar Ukva says, it's not like Asherah where butla daito, who would, and for what purpose would you store something that's Asur Banah? He has a purpose. It's Dam Nida. It's not Asur Banah. What he'll do with it, he'll do with it. He has a cat, and he's going to feed his cat. Oh, so in that case, according to Mar Ukva, he would be chayav for carrying the Dam. You know, the Dam Nida. He wants to feed his cat, let's say. But only he would be chayav. Here's a case where others, and I'm not just talking about an usher, I'm talking about your rank and file commoner, would not be chayav. Now, according to Rav Papa, in the case of Dam Nida, even the owner of the cat would be potter. And we would apply the principle of butler daita. Why? Because A, do you have a cat? Who has cats? And B, which cats like to eat Dam Nida? And number three, even if the cat likes Dam Nida, is it worth, you know, locking it up and storing it just in case, you know, your cat is in, you know, you have no cat food that day, and maybe the cat is going to be in the mood to gobble up Dam Nida. You know, I'm making it into like the Gemara by books are very often asked, well, you know, maybe this Bechar, you know, on Yontif, because you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yontif. So going into Yontif, maybe this Bechar would have a mum. And if it has a mum, maybe we'll find a bucky, you know, in mumim. And number three, maybe he'll be in agreement to paskin, which you're not allowed to do on Yontif, and decide whether it's got a mum kavua, mum over. And even if he decides that way, maybe he'll decide that it's a mum kavua. I mean, it's say it's a mum over, and therefore it's not psule mukdash. You know what I'm saying? So Gemara says that's muktzah. Why? Because you have a whole, you know, stream of sveikas. So according to Rav Papa, in the case of Dam Nida, You have so many different sphakas as to whether any, not anybody on the face of the earth would have a need for it. You know, it's if they're this, and if they're that, and if they're that. That's already considered something that has no use. And therefore, it's not kosher latznia. That's what I'm suggesting.
Can I ask?
Yeah, sure. Please.
You began by talking about a gogreris. Apparently, the Mishnah is telling us that the size of an object is no longer crucial, but rather the chashivas of the object.
Right.
So if it's chashiv to the world, if I have a gold coin that's the size of a penny, that's smaller than a gogreris, but I would be chayiv for it, because it's latznia. Whereas, let's say the asherah, if I walk out with a big asherah, I would be putter, because it has no chashivas at all.
Right.
Am I getting it right?
Yeah, I think that's it. We'll talk about Grogeris in Mirtz Hashem when we get to Daf Ayin Vav, because that's more in foodstuffs.
Right.
And now we're talking about objects other than food.
We apply in this case of Hatzos.
Right. Now we get to Ve'idach. Okay, now Rav Papa says that Dam Nida is not kosher latznia. And the Gemara says, what do you mean it's not kosher latznia? I mean, we said according to Bar Ukva, it's mitznah le lishunra. So the Gemara says, Kevan decholsha. So again, this is beyond my my repertoire. And it has to do with shadim and stuff like that. I don't know, when I get to Gemara, you know, the Masechta in Shas about shadim, I used to think it was brachas, then I found out it was Shabbos. You know, shadim was such a reality in the time of the Gemara. I mean, we have no clue what it's about. You know, we hear that 100 years ago, you know, somebody had a divok, you know, and the Chofetz Chaim got rid of the divok. You know what I'm saying? We hear stories from the past. But back in the time of the Gemara, apparently, you know, this was something that they lived with. I mean, literally lived with. So the Gemara says that if you feed dam nida to a cat, again, you may save yourself supper for the cat that night, but you may end up in a hospital, he says, and therefore lo mitznale. And here it's a little bit interesting, because, you know, the Gemara is really taking the machlokas between Mar Ukva and Rav Papa one step further. And the Gemara is saying that, you know, Mar Ukva is, he's looking at the dam nida, the guy has a cat, and he wants to feed his cat. And Rav Papa is saying, no, that's a bad idea. You know, you don't feed your cat dam nida. It's something that will weaken your body. All right. Omar Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, hi delo ki Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon. To iki Rabbi Shimon. Ha Omar, and again, this is a sugya a little bit later on in Periklal Gadol. Lo Omru kol Ashirim alolu elo lematzniyehem. In other words, according to Reb Shimon, when we talk about something that's less than a shear, and yet he put it away because he needs it under his particular, you know, station in life, that makes it into a shear. So I'll read to you the note here. He writes that the pochos mikashir of Reb Shimon, he says, is machayv achatos for everyone. He says, afilu liacher. So again, according to Reb Shimon, basically, if Reuven was matznia, he'll be chayev for taking out something that is very minimum in size, and it would seem that according to Reb Shimon, Anybody would be chayev in such a case. Let's read on. Our Mishnah says, kol she'eino kosher latznia, that if it's not fit for storage, in other words, maybe for you it's fit for storage, but for another person it's not fit for storage, is therefore the Mishnah says, aval acher potu. Here on Taf Ayin Vav. Omer Rabbi Elazar, had the loker Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Desanya klalam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'eino kosher latznia, ein matznian kamohu, v'huchshar loze latznia, Uba acher votzio nischayev ze b'machshav shel ze. So if you're talking about something that's not kosher latznia, and we assume that even for this person it would not be called kosher latznia, is then nobody's going to be chayev for it. But if it's huchshar loze latznio, if in the case of this particular individual it's kosher latznio, then he designates it as something that has chashivus, then as a result of his designation and his machshava, even somebody else is going to be chayav. So let's just review Rav Shimon ben Elazar. We have an opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and it's a big chumrah, and he says that if somebody goes ahead and he stores an amount of a volume of an item, then anyone else is going to be chayev for otzah. Now, what I'm trying to figure out is, this is where I got a little bit stuck, is what? How does this statement of Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Lazar, on the top of Daf Ayin Vav and Aleph, how does it square with Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina on the bottom of Ayin Heim and Beis? Because if you notice, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina is talking about Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar is talking about Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And therefore I derive the conclusion, again you're all free to disagree with me, that we're talking about two different Tanoim. And Rabbi Yossi is saying one thing, referring to one Tana, whereas Rabbi Elazar is saying something else, and he's referring to a totally different Tana. Again, it's a little confusing because they're both Reb Shimons, but I think they're two different Reb Shimons. So what I'm suggesting here is that there might be, all told here, three different Shitos in the Tanoim. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is telling us that our Mishnah, we'll call him the Tanakam of our Mishnah, is not and cannot be reconciled with Rabbi Shimon. And there's going to be a machlokas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Now we have Rabbi Lazar, and he's telling us that there's a third sheet in Tanoim, and that's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and he's even more machmir than Rabbi Shimon. So what you have is the following. I'm creating a kind of a hierarchy, and now I have to fill in the gaps. You're going to have the Tanakama is the most mekil. You're going to have Rabbi Shimon, who's a little bit more machmir. And then you're going to have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who's the most machmir. So if I work the totem pole backwards from the bottom up, I can certainly tell you that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is the most machmir, because he's the one who says that ba'acher v'otzio is chayev. But in between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we have a middle shita of Rabbi Shimon. And if you ask me how Rabbi Shimon is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, then I can tell you. He doesn't go as far as to say that an acher would be chayev just because you are matznia something that's not choshev for an acher. You don't have the power and the chumrah to set up a meleches otzah for me just because you decided to be matznia and it's chashiv for you. That far Rav Shimon is not willing to go. But what I'm trying to rack my brains about, and here we're gonna take a look at Rashi, where is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon? And here we want to go back to the bottom of Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis. Om Rav Yossi, Rav Chanina, high deloker Rabbi Shimon, that our Tanakama is against Rabbi Shimon. Okay? So we know that our Tanakama is of the opinion that if you have something which most people would store, and we're looking at your average person, then anyone's chayav. And that's the ratio of our Mishnah, kol hakosher latznia. Right? Now, kol hakosher latznia means that your average person is going to be chayav. Why? Because this item has a function for your average person. Now, I assumed that in the case of a wealthy person, he would be chayav for such a thing. But let me try to take a different possible approach, just to work out the, if you're willing to, you know, give me some time here, that the Tanakama holds that you need a second condition. It's not enough that your average person would be worth your while to put this item away for whatever function, but you need another condition, and that is matznian kimohu, that anyone who carried this object out fits into a description, a category called matznian kimohu. An usher would not come under that category of matznian kimohu, and therefore, just one second, I'm sorry. Let me try to get this down. What I want to say is that according to the Tanakama would say that what? They call a kosher latznia, umatznian kimoso, is hotzio b'shabes chayv chatos. So again, most people would carry it. So let's say it this way. Again, I'm just trying to work out the mathematics here. According to Tanakama, once you have the condition of matznian kimohu, is then anyone is chayv for such a thing. That's what I said originally, and let me go back to that. Masnisin delo kirabi shimon. De'i kirabi shimon. Now we try to figure out what Rav Shimon is going to say. Ha'omar, he holds against our Mishnah, lo omru kol ashirim halolu ela bimatzni ahem. So he is a mekil then, because he's dafka lematzni ahem. In other words, Rav Shimon holds that a wealthy person would not be chayev. And then we get Rav Shimon Elazar, and he's going to tell us that as long as somebody was matznia for his purposes, then anybody is chayav. So let's just see if I can create now three shitos in the Tanon. The Tanakama is going to say that if a person represents, let's say, the majority, the common person, and he would be matznia, then in such a case, everyone is going to be chayav. So let me go over that one more time. According to Tanakama, if the common person would find it worthwhile to put this away and store it, then everyone's chayav. Even someone who belongs to an exceptional category and a group, for him it's not worth it. Doesn't matter. That sets up a shear. So kosher latznio sets up the shear, and shiurim are objective. Okay, fine. Now we get to Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon says that what? That if you have a small amount, and what? And just one second. If you have a small amount, a small volume, and your average person would find it worthwhile for that purpose to put it away, then the matzniyah is going to be chayev. Correct? Let's read the language of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon says that lo amru kol ashir malolu ela matzniyehem. Ela matzniyehem. And he's coming to lafuke someone who, for whatever reason, would not be matzniyah. Now again, I don't know all the nuances here. Does he have to prove, is he guilty to prove an innocent? You know, he has to, you know, bring two eidim to testify that for him it's not significant. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's not significant for him, and therefore he's not chayav achatos. Because Rabbi Shimon requires that matzniyehem are those, maybe you could say matzniyehem would be that in the past they've already proven, they have a track record that they put it away. Okay, I'm just giving you one possibility. Now comes Rav Shimon Elazar, and he's even more machmir than the Tanakama. So it works like this. Rav Shimon is the most mekil, Rav Shimon Elazar is the most machmir, and in the middle you have the sheet of the Tanakama of that Mishnah. Rav Shimon Elazar is willing to say that it doesn't depend upon matzniyehem, but it depends upon vihitznio. Both the Chachamim in the Tanakhama of our Mishnah and Reb Shimon, they say that whether you can be chayef hotzah on this depends not on matzniyah or vitznio, but on matzniyehem, which is Rabbi Shimon, or kosher latzniyah, which is the Tanakhama. So in the case where your average person would be matzniyah something, then we have a machlokas between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon regarding the exceptional person who would not find it worthwhile to be matzniyah. The Tanakam would say he's chayav because we have an ejective shear that's called kolakosh latzniyah, and Reb Shimon says he's potur because he doesn't fit the category of matzniyehem. Only someone who's matzniyehem is going to be chayav. And that's the greatest kula of Rabbi Shimon. Now we have the greatest chumra, which is Rabbi Shimon Elazar. He doesn't require kol kosher latzniyah. He doesn't require anyone to fit the category of matzniyehem. But rather he holds that all you need is hitznio. That in actuality, he went ahead because for him it was important, and he was matzniyah. Now, that means that anyone else is chayav. But now, I mean, in addition to the conceptual question about this breakthrough, this chumra of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, I would like to know where does Rav Papa Mar Ukva fit in? So let's say you take the case of Dam Nida. How far do we take Rav Shimon ben Elazar? Is Rav Shimon ben Elazar going to say that if the cat owner owns, you know, puts away Dam Nida to feed his cat, then anyone who carries it will now be Chayef Otsah. Man, that really bothers me. Man, if you're talking about a cat, yeah, but otherwise, what would be the Chiddush of Rav Shimon Elazar? Well, is there any way of saying Rav Shimon Elazar a little bit less radical? I don't know, not sure. Let me just take a look here for a moment. If you just give me a minute here, I'm sorry, I apologize, but I didn't organize my svarim properly here. Let's see. Oh. He says the following. Rabbi Shimon lo amru kol ashir malolu ela lematzniehem. He says l'stam b'nei adam shedarkom latzniah shir zeh Aval Ashir, oh, let's see if I was right. Aval Ashir she'ein darko latzni Ashir ze im hotzi shir ze potter. Udelo kidas mishnasenu, which I call the Tanakama, shigam Ashir hamotzi dovar sheyesh bo shir sheroy l'rov b'nei adam chaya. Beautiful. Okay, I'm excited. At least, I don't know all the nuances yet, but at least we're on the right track. Oh, now we get to Rav Shimon Elazar, and he says the following. Kol she'eino min ha'osi l'tzorech ha'adam, which means no one uses this. I think he's going all the way here, even dam nida. V'tznio adam echad. He says, "Bo acher otzio liolso chevich etznio rishon ischayev zesh otzio b'machshava shel zesh etznio shamotzi chevich zeh chayev olav hagam she'ein bo shir." So we're talking about something that's certainly an objective term. So your average person does not have a shir; it's just not worth it. But Ploni, we'll call him Reuven, he went ahead, he was Matznia. So it's Ein Kamo Matznia, Ein Bo Shir Shechoshev Haroy Latznia. But Huchsho Lezeh, Hechshivo Adam Echad Vitznia. It's an amazing Shita. Is Bo Adam Acher Votzio, Nischayev Zeh, B'machshava Shel Zeh. V'amotzi yischeifetz hazeh chayav olav gam she'ein bo shir mipnei shemachsheves matznia nosenes lo chashivus. Wow. This is about as subjective as you can get. You know, to say that something is kosher latznia and even the oshir is going to be chayav, das kenef hashtehen, because there are such dinim as shiurim. But to say it's something that doesn't have a shir of chashivus, but Ploni Almoni put it away, and like it engenders a certain chashivus that's now objective for everyone. I'm just wondering if I could find some Tana de Messiah that would support me on this, that this is halach and tumah v'tara. But let me just see, there's not much here in the Masifta, unfortunately. I was hoping there would be a whole thing here. He says, Mashma shechiyuvo shel amotzi mishum amatzniahu. Oh, look at that. He says the following. Whoa, Rabosai, hold on to your seats over here. He throws a whole different light on this. He says, chiyuvo hudafka kishahotzi al das hamatzniah. Like he's like a shliach of the matznia. Kigon, b'talmid, I'm not sure who he's quoting here, b'talmid, sh'omalo rabo, lefanos mokom l'se'uda. Yikevin shumotzo avur rabo, v'aldas rabo, Dai b'mesha rabo hechshivo v'tznio kidei l'chayev es ha-talmid shahotzi. Not sure exactly what the scenario is. I don't know. He says shomer lo rabo lefanot makom l'su'uda, like clear out all this stuff. Because I guess he means we want to set the table. Is Dai Bozesha Rabo Echshivo? Yeah, I can't. I don't have all the details, but the general concept I think I get over here. That what we're suggesting is that even Reb Shimon Elazar would not say that just because Reuven put it aside and he wants to get rid of it and take it out, therefore Shimon is going to be chayav for something that's less than a shir. But rather what we're talking about is a case where Reuven himself, if he took it out, he would be chayav, and therefore when he commissions Shimon, and Shimon is taking it out al das Reuven, then he's chayav for something that only Reuven. So in other words, if you had a Joe on the street who has nothing to do with Reuven, who put this aside, then even if Shimon Elazar would say he's not chayav for otzah, it's less than a shear. But then he says, Rishonim kosvu, right, other Rishonim say that L'shitas Rav Shimon Elazar kol ha-motzi pochos mikashir achar shitznio gam im hotzio al das atzmo hareyu chayav. Wow. So he doesn't tell you who these Rishonim are. He tells you to look at Tosis Dibur Maskil Otu, which I'm not seeing right now. I don't know where it disappeared on me. Oh, I see. He's saying that there's a Tosis in the next Perek. Anyway, V'on Rishonim. So it means that Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that anyone is Chayav because Reuven was Matznio. And then he says, V'imotzio avura matznia, in the case that we mentioned earlier, which is apparently built on Rashi Shita, that the acher was aldas ha-matznia, gamli chachomim chaya. Kevin shaltzah sol adas ha-odam shetznia, is gam b'shir chashifusa shol adover la-matznia, is ha-motzi chaya. And that's, wow, that's going really far as a chumrah. That even the Rabbanan agree to Rav Shimon Elazar if the motzi is operating on behalf of the... Okay, Rav, so what I want to do now is just learn the next Mishnah with you. And I always think that you have to be a veterinarian to appreciate this Mishnah, or at least an animal raiser, because different animals eat different amounts and different kinds of food. So you can have food for one animal that another animal would not be interested in eating. So in Hotzah, you know, you have to carry out, right? There's got to be a correlation between A and B, between the amount that would satiate the animal and the type of food that would satiate the animal. So number one, we talk about Tevin. And Tevin, which is some sort of a straw, is kimoli pi para. That would feed a cow. So I'm hoping that if we Google this, we'll find that cows eat straw. So how much would you carry out to feed? How much of the tevin would it take to carry out to feed? You know, to fill up the mouth of a para. That would give it chashivus. Then we have something called atza. The Gemara is going to ask what atza is, but it's some sort of more sophisticated straw that comes from different legumes. Shi'ur l'schayavu kemole pi gamal. Now, I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean that the camel would not settle for anything? He's a fine schmecker, the camel. He will not settle for regular run-of-the-mill straw. Now, he has a footnote here where he says that to fill up the mouth of a camel, you need a greater volume. So if he carries this kind of an otza, and he only carries kimoli pi para, the amount that would fill up a smaller mouth, the mouth of a cow, then he's not chayef. Now, you might ask, well, okay, so there's this very sophisticated kind of straw, and he's feeding a camel with it, right? And he only has enough to fill up the mouth of a para, and we're saying he's not chayav. Why shouldn't he be chayav if he's carrying something that has chashivas to it? Okay, he's feeding a camel, but this is something that he could have fed to a para. So Rashi says that a para will not eat atza. So what do I derive from this Rashi? If let's say, I call it Yesh Becham Asayim Mana. If let's say he carries out something that would satiate a para, And it's very sophisticated. Normally, he would only designate this food for a camel. But he decides, you know, he wants to treat his cow very well. You know, he loves his cow. So he feeds it that superior food that usually he would need, and it's more expensive perhaps for a camel, but he feeds it to his cow. He would be chayov, in this case, let's take otza. Again, the answer of Rashi is that otza is not food for cows. But let's say otza would be food for cows, then if he would carry kimole pi parav otza, he would be chayav, even if he's feeding his camel. So he's only carrying the volume that's fit for a cow, which is a smaller volume. And Rashi seems to indicate that he'd be chayav if he's feeding a camel, because all we need is that this volume would be edible to a cow. We could take the smallest volume, l'chumra, in Ochlim, that would be animal feed for a cow. That's the smallest of all the animals that we have on this list. If the cow would eat it. Once the cow would eat it, and I have the volume that would fill up the cow's mouth, I'm chayef otza, even if my intention is to use this for a camel, and the camel will not fill up the mouth of a camel. Again, Rashi doesn't say this explicitly, but from the fact that Rashi has to say that the otza is not edible to a cow, it must mean that even though he's feeding a camel, he'd be chayef for something that's edible for a cow, even with the smaller shear of kimoli pi para. Amir. So he writes here that Amir is kashim shel shibolim, like the chaff around the kernel of grain, is kimoli pi tole. So I'm trying to figure out, I think that this is a chumrah. This is a chumrah. Let's see if I'm right. That it's a smaller amount. As a lamb has a smaller mouth than a camel. Are you willing to buy that? I don't know. We'll try it. Asavim. And he's carrying out grass. Kimole pi gdi. That's even a more chumrah, because the gdi, the goat, has even a smaller mouth than the tle. But again, this chumrah is only in asavim. Alei shum v'alei betzalim. What would you feed, or which animal would you feed in the case of the coverings? What does he mean by olim? He says, kemin yad hagdela barosh habatzal. Oh, in other words, it's not, he says, I thought it was a klipa that covers the onion. He says that's called a klipa. The ole, right, it says here, not klipa hashum, but it says ale hashum. That's the part that grows out of the onion. You know, it sticks out like a, he calls it like a yad. And here the Mishnah differentiates between whether they're moist or they're dry. So if they're wet, then kigrogeres. And if they're dry, kimole pigdi. So this is interesting. If a person would carry otza or ale shumale bitsolim, it's the identical halacha. He'll be chayev for kimole pi. No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Forget about the otza. I meant to say asavim. I'm sorry. If he carries asavim, or he carries these ale shum, it would be the exact same halacha. The same shear would apply to these asavim and to the ale shum. Because both are fodder for the goats. And the very fact that in asavim, this would be enough to feed a goat, or in the case of ali shum, it would be enough of the ali shum to feed a goat, then he's chayav. And again, He's chayev no matter which animal he's trying to feed. As long as this shear was set up as ke mole pigdi, then it'd be chayev. Oh, so here's going to be the Gemara. Just give you a preview of coming attractions. What happens, let's say that Kimoli PGD is X. And let's say you have to add A plus B to equal X. Meaning, let's say he has Asovim, which is A. And he has Ali Shum, which is B. Both of them are half of X, of C, we'll call it, of Kimoli PGD. He would be chayef. Why? Because both of them have the same identical shear. That's going to be the Gemara's vacillation back and forth. And let's just finish the Mishnah. The ein mitztarfim ze im ze. Mibnei shelo shavu b'shiur rehen. That if you had half a shear of one kind of substance, one kind of food, with a half a shear of the other, then it wouldn't be mitztarev, because they have different shiurim. In other words, if each min, you know, let's say we could differentiate between teven and otza, has its own shear, then since they have two different shiurim, then you would not be able to mitzarif two minim together, meaning half of that shear for pipora. I'm sorry, half of that shear for teven and half of the shear for otza. They just wouldn't jive. However, we're going to see the sugya later, that din, that it's not mitztarif b'shiurim shovim, einam shovim, that only works in one direction, but not in the other direction. Meaning, it's only because you're trying to be mashlim a shiur gadol with another substance that has a shiur katan. But if you go the other way around, you have a shiur katan, and you want to be mitztarif to get that shiur a substance that has a shear gadol, then for sure, l'chumra, we're going to be able to be mitzarif the two shear. So let's look at the Gemara. My otza, am Rabbi Yehuda teven shalmine kitnios. So the straw that comes from legumes. And the teven in our Mishnah, which is the shear of kamali pipara, that's teven shal tvua. And that's roi l'achilas para. So therefore, when it comes to Tevin Shal Tvua, the shear is Kemoli Pi Pora, because it's Roy Lachilus Pora. Tevin Shal Kitnius, which is Otza, is not Roy Le Pora, unless it's Al Yideh Chak, which we'll get to later, and therefore it's food for Gamal, and the shear is Kemoli Pi Gamal. Ki Otza Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi comes from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Omar, he tells us, Hamotzi Teven Kimelo Pi Para Legomel. Now, we assumed when we learned the Mishnah that once we set up the shear for Teven as Kimoli Pi Para, then anyone is chayav for carrying a Pi Para's worth of Teven. But Rav Dimi claims it's machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, that's for sure, that we understood. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Patur. In other words, since his intention was to feed a gomel, therefore he's Patur. Be'orta, the very next morning, on Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi. I'm sorry, that night he said that, and Litzaf, the very next morning, Hadarbe, he changed his mind. He accepted Reish Lakish that you put. Rav Yosef Shaper Ovid Dahadar Dahlo Chazi LeGamal. Since he's interested in feeding his Gamal, and the amount that he carried is Eno Roy Le Achilas Gamal, therefore he's Potter. Amalei Yosef, Abaye Rav Yosef, Adarab, just the opposite. Kidami Kara Mistabra. Rav Yochanan's original opinion is more logical. If anything, Reish Lakish should backtrack and accept Rav Yochanan. Da Chazi Lepara. Once we set up the shear in Tevin as Chazi Lepara, what difference does it make if he's feeding a gomel or if he's feeding a para? In any event, he's carrying something that's Choshev. We don't have to go into his very machshava and see what is his goal in any particular case. And therefore, the Gemara reiterates or reformulates the machlokas eloki asa ravin. Rather, when ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, originally it was Rav Dimi. Now we have the later formulation of this statement from ravin. Is Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pi Para Ligamo Lakuli Alma Lo Pli the Chayiv. Even Reish Lakish agrees that he's going to be Chayiv. Why? Because the Chshivus of Tevin Kimoli Pi Para is that amount that he carried. Why shouldn't he be Chayiv? Ki Pligi, they're going to argue about the case of Bimotzi Otza Kimoli Pi Para Lipara. What's the status with Otza? That was the tour from Kitnios. I shouldn't say Tvua Shel Kitnios, I should be more medayik and say Tevin Shel Kitnios. What's the halacha if he carries the Tevin Shel Kitnios, which would normally be fodder for a camel, and he carries Kimoli Pi Para? And when you think about it, if every chefta, I mean every type or category, species of ochel, is its shear is going to be defined by the animal that eats that ochel. So in the case of otza, we should define the shear as the amount that would feed a gamal, because that's what you do with otza. And he only took out kimoli pi apari, should certainly be patur. And that's going to be the shita of Rabbi Yochanan, the way Ravin transmitted it, itmar. Rabbi Yochanan omar patur, Reish Lakish omar chayav. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Patur, we understand, because the Otza is not food for a para. And although he brought out enough food to feed a para, but this is Otza. And Otza needs the shear of Kimoli Pi Gomo. And the Gemara calls it Achila Al Yidei Adchak Lo Shmei Achila. That although maybe the para, if it's desperate, will eat even this Tevin Shel Kitnios, but that's not the real food for a cow. So to give chashivus to a moli pi para in a case of otza, that doesn't make any sense. Reish Lakish omar chayav achila al yidchak shma achila. Now it's if he took out food and his intention was to feed a para, and now in otza, he has enough to. He took out enough otza, although not enough to feed a camel, but enough to feed a para. But he's interested in feeding a para, and indeed, you know, the para, if it's desperate, will eat the otza. Is therefore that's considered achila, and that gives a chashivas ischay for otza, even for the purpose, even in a smaller shear of kimoli pi para, even in the case of otza. Okay, this is where we're going to stop.